I don't like conservative events. Actually, I hate them. And I'm talking about A Night for Freedom, which was a great move by Cernovich, and Molyneux was amazing, and Owen Benjamin was also a genius, and I think it's great that he did that event. I think it's very important, especially in New York City, where someone who likes Trump is a constant pariah, and it's nice to relax. It's good for chicks. Like Deplorable was great for girls who are MAGA in a city that's liberal, because they can finally meet decent guys that don't have a heart attack when they find out they're not dealing with Lena Dunham. But as the person doing them and going there, it's hell on earth. And I don't think I'm doing it again. I don't mind doing a talk, like at a college, where you just come in, you talk for an hour to a quiet audience, and then you walk out a side door and go get a beer with your friends, you know, a mile away where Antifa can't kill you or don't get organized enough to kill you. But these things where you're just sort of like, these guys were being paid $600, $700, $1,000, $100 minimum to go there. So they feel like they own you. And I know I said it last time, but these goddamn phones are driving me insane. They're driving me insane. Why do you want a selfie? And they wait in line, and you can't have a normal conversation with someone at these events because there's always four goofs, four millennials. Sorry, guys. I know I'm talking to my audience. Four of my people with these shit-eating grins on their faces holding their phone because they can't wait to take a picture. God, I know it sounds like I'm bragging that I'm famous. I'm not talking about gorgeous women who are dying to fellate me backstage. I'm talking about overzealous young men who, for some reason, even when I was at Berkeley doing that Ann Coulter speech, there's a mob outside. There's people screaming. I'm getting huddled in. Like, you know when someone gets out of a helicopter and they have someone else holding their back? And they're like, waka-taka-taka-taka-taka-taka. It was sort of like that. Like, I go through the mob, and I got two guys on either side of me, and I get to the microphone, and Basic Man is there, and I do the speech, and then I'm running out to the safety car, which is a different car that we came in on. And as I'm running through the mob, this guy's like, can I take a selfie with you? What? Why? Anyway, so that tries your soul. But there's something that goes on at these events where yesterday, this was the Night for Freedom. I'm recording this on Sunday. Yesterday, there were these kids who had paid tons of money. So they feel obligated. And this one guy comes up to me, and he goes, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I want to talk to you about something, Bitcoin or something. And I go, you already got two questions. No, because I'm starting, like, my soul is being usurped. And I don't have anything to sell. I mean, I guess I want you to watch my show and listen to my podcast, but I'm not, like, running for office. So I don't need the meet and greet. I don't need to kiss babies. And I go, wait, I remember you from the Q&A. You already got two questions. No. And he goes, actually, Gavin, I paid $600 to be here. So, oh, for fuck's sake. So then I got to go. Like, it's like someone's buying your friendship. And that feels like prostitution. I hope I'm not coming across as sounding like I'm shitting on Cernovich or his knight. I'm just, like, it's like I'm Charlie Watts. And I'm glad the Stones have a gig. And I appreciate the career. But I have calluses on my hands from drumming. That's what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing the Stones or the Madison Square Garden or Mick or Keith. I'm just saying drumming drains me, and I don't really like it. But at other events, like there was this party we did in Washington, D.C. I forget what it was called. It was like Deplorable. It wasn't the Deplorable, but it was something like that, a Deplorable party. And it was an 80s competition. I had a dance down with James O'Keefe, which I failed miserably at. He knows all these Michael Jackson movies, which at an 80s party, you know, you're going to win. And at that thing, there's these divorcees, very rich conservative women with collagen injections and fake breasts. And they kind of feel like they own you. And I think a lot of people in my community, my peers, rely heavily on donations. Basically, any political magazine, any political entity from NPR to Reason Magazine relies heavily on donors. I think Project Veritas does. CRTV doesn't, but that's one of the few. Trump's the other. But these women are used to you know, getting away with murder, and they sexually harass young conservatives. I don't like that. I don't mind it. I don't sit in the shower with my arms around my knees, rocking back and forth. But I don't like being treated like I'm someone else's property and they own me. And I think, you know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And women aren't good at power for the most part. They tend to get in over their heads. So they grab the pussy. But it's a butt. And these women will grab my butt and, like, kiss me and want to dance and stuff. And, you know, I don't mind that in a fun way, but I mind it when there's some sort of authority behind it. And they're really sort of gropey. Poor white male. You're sexually harassed. It's just annoying, is what I'm saying. And you're after, you know, a night of it. This thing yesterday, I didn't get any of that sexual harassment stuff, although it kind of did. And I remember also with David Horowitz at Restoration Weekend, these two old ladies just sit down next to me at the bar, these boomers, and they just start talking and monopolizing my conversation with my friends because that's what they do. They own the place. They're in control. I must want their checks. I don't want your checks. Get lost. And then the other factor, of course, in all this is Antifa. So we have these lunatics out there screaming, and they're going, they're saying, you wouldn't believe their chants. KKK and cops go hand in hand. What? Hand in hand was a big one. There was some other chant that was something like, Trump, capitalism, KKK, all that shit goes hand in hand. I mean, it probably rhymed, but you're listening to this chant going, okay, so Trump, you don't like Trump. I got that loud and clear, Sir Earl. That's crystal clear. The KKK? Are you out of your mind? Why are you so mad about someone you've never seen once in your life? I don't think I've seen anyone in with my own eyeballs who's seen the KKK. Like, I've seen more Armenian coke dealers. I've seen more albinos. I've probably seen more people that have sex with dogs than KKK. I've seen them on TV. I've seen pictures. But as I said in the other podcast, it's not a thing. And the way you gauge a thing is, if you were to bring it up at dinner and everyone gasped, then it's not a thing. The Klan is not a thing. And then capitalism. What in the Sam hell are you talking about? You hate capitalism? I don't even know what that means. And what it means is spellbinding naivete. I saw this thing on Facebook. It was a screen grab, and it was some commie chat room. And they said, they're just, you know, relaxing, chilling. I hope I haven't mentioned this before on the show, but they go, ever wondered what you're going to do after the revolution? And then someone else goes, good topic. That's very interesting. Yeah, I've always thought I would like to be a massage therapist. And then the other one goes, I'd like to obviously work with the Red Army. I'd also like to design uniforms within the Red Army. Oh, that's a fun one. You design the little, what do you call those shoulder things, epaulettes? Maybe you can design a hat, a little red and green hat. That's a fun job. Is that what you think life away from capitalism is? The irony is, by the way, that that's what capitalism is. You get to choose your job, you fools! You get to say massage therapist. I know of many guys who chose that stupid job that inevitably ends up being some strange form of prostitution for lonely women who want to be touched by a man who doesn't want anything in return. And you want to design uniforms? Okay, go to FIT. You could probably get a job designing uniforms, at least with retail, and then maybe you could make it to the military. But in a communist system, there's not this big, giant, stadium-sized pile of money, and you go there when you're hungry, and you grab like 80 bucks and go grab a hamburger, and then tell, I don't know, hair Soviet leader, great leader, hi, I want to be like a golf instructor. I don't know how to play golf, but I'd like to learn, and I think that's fair. Yes, no problem. We'll send you to golf learning school at the best golf courses in the world. Then you will come back here, and you will teach golf to the proletariat. So, in other words, they're mental patients. And mental patients are dangerous. They're also, by the way, victims of their own brainwashing. They're the victims of their own hysteria, their own simplicity. And they really, like, on my Twitter bio, it says what I am, right? I don't like Nazis. I'm right wing, whatever. Not even right wing. I don't know what that means anymore, but just not a liberal. And they go, you're a Nazi. And I'm like, how many Nazis deny that they're Nazis? And so these lunatics have boiled it down to the far left, the alt-left, where there's commies. And commies, by the way, in their mind are great because they want universal health care. That's basically the long and short of it. And the rest of us are evil Nazis because we don't want universal health care. We don't want sick people to get help. That's the way their dinosaur brains work. And they're screaming these maniacal chants. And so they think they're outside of a meeting of the National Nazi Convention. Meanwhile, you can see the Q&A we did online. It's my pinned tweet. It probably won't be for long, but it's a Periscope that Cernovich put up that starts about 15 minutes in. We did this Q&A first, and then we did our speeches, which was a nightmare because everyone was talking, and it was super loud, and it was 700 people in a small room. And so you can't have any nuance. You can just basically scream USA and say, was it so wrong to love this country? Which isn't fun. And I'm kind of spoiled by this platform where I can look things up. I've got a captive audience. I can speak slowly. I can have a long arc to the point. Everyone's listening. Once you've been here to the microphone, you know, I'm talking about my free podcast and my show, Get Off My Lawn, on crtv.com/Gavin. In both of those, you know, it's take some time, do some research, lay out your points. You got your notes there. Dave has the pictures. Dave has the videos. Once you've been there and someone says, would you like to scream at a mob? No, thanks. No, thanks. So before we did the speeches, the screaming speeches, which Owen nailed beautifully, by the way. I mean, maybe it's because he's a giant, and it's also because he's literally a very big penis. He gets out there, he plays the piano, he's playing Beethoven, and he's making jokes about it and making fun of Timberland, and also talking about, you know, his transition away from the left when they started talking about trans kids. He said, all right, I'm done. Start messing with kids. I'm out. And how annoying it is to be called racist, blah, blah, blah. He was really, really good. And then Milk and Cooks came on at the end and played great music with dancers on the stage. I mean, it was surprisingly cool for a right-wing event. We're usually not that cool. Chelsea Manning showed up. I'm sorry, I'm off on a tangent. I'll get back to the Q&A. But Chelsea Manning showed up, and he, Bradley Manning, is smaller than you could ever imagine. He could fit in your pocket easily. Absolutely no problem. And you could be wearing skin-tight jeans, and you could squeeze Bradley in your pocket. He's one of the smallest people I've ever seen. And he's really skinny. He must weigh 80 pounds, honestly. He's like my son's size. My son's 9. I bet my son could beat him up. I hope my son beats him up. Ooh, let's take that sentence and then separate that and go to Media Matters and say he wants his sons to fight a trans person. They're so desperate for bad guys that they comb through hundreds of hours of things you've said, trying to find an example that fits their narrative, even though the other 700 hours say the opposite. They're so incapable of nuance and humor because they're on such a crusade to make this Hitlersville, even though it's not. And I'll go off on a tangent within a tangent and talk about when I was a kid and we fought Nazi skinheads and they had swastikas on and everything. But a friend of mine brought this up the other day. He goes, remember when we used to fight skinheads in the 80s and stuff? He goes, like, you always say, oh, well, those were real Nazis. Now you're fighting fake Nazis like someone who's right wing. But he goes, even back then, what the hell were they? It wasn't 1942. You're not a Nazi. I had never thought of that before. What a ridiculous thing to be in the 80s, a Nazi. How is that different from being Khmer Rouge? You've taken an army from the past that doesn't exist, and now you're championing its cause. What cause? Like, are you going to try to get Pol Pot exhumed? Do you want to be the next Pol Pot? Is that what you think's going to happen? You're going to push Cambodian communism all over the country? I mean, that's what some of these Antifa people are doing. But the idea of Nazis back then, or even what they call anyone right wing now, is What do you think's going to happen? Do you think you're going to start a Fourth Reich? Do you think these guys that you call Nazis, who aren't Nazis, but say hypothetically they were, even let's take the real actual bad guys, that tiny sliver on the far, far, far right of the Richard Spencers and the alt-right guys who say the Jews will not replace us, those actual bad guys. Okay, you got them. What are they going to do? What are you so – are you scared that they're going to create a militia across the country that's going to start committing ethnic cleansing? That doesn't sound crazy to you? Is that not a little ridiculous? I heard Michael Malice is doing a book about the New Right. I think it's called The New Right, and he was interviewing Jared Taylor. Jared Taylor is a, he calls himself a racial realist. He was born in Japan. Japanese is actually his mother tongue. His second language is English. And when you hear him talk, you're really just hearing a Japanese guy with a white head talk. But he'd said, I mean, the idea that there'd be a new Nazi movement in America is absolutely fantastic. But he didn't mean good. His English is too literal. So he meant fantastical. Or, you know, if he were to say awesome, he wouldn't mean good in a surfer sense. He'd just mean large. So you could, he might say that the Twin Towers collapsing was absolutely awesome. Because it was awe-inspiring, it was terrible and awesome. So Malice goes, yeah, I don't think you want me to use that word. But yeah, Chelsea Manning was there. She showed up, final say she, you got me. She showed up and seemed cool. And she was giggling about how she was with Antifa and she just left them because Cassandra Fairbanks got her a ticket. And I'd ask Cassandra, because I was, you seem like a traitor and a trans weirdo scumbag Antifa. But she goes, I don't know. I see her sort of like Trump as a stick of dynamite. Let's get her into politics. She's into transparency. And I go, well, in any of those leaks that she gave, WikiLeaks, remember, everyone knows, right? Bradley Manning worked with the American military and leaked all kinds of secrets about the war to WikiLeaks, exposing America. And I said, did any of those leaks include translators or someone, you know, from Pakistan who was helping us, who was then endangered? And she said, no, none of the data endangered anyone. Okay, I guess that's okay. I don't know. That still doesn't seem very cool to be talking about our military techniques during a war. I'm having trouble seeing the upsides of that. I'm into transparency. Don't get me wrong. I'm an anarchist. But that particular case, why is it good to tell the jihadists the way we operate when we're bluffing and when we're serious? I don't know. So anyway, this tiny little man shows up, Chelsea Manning, and he's giggling about Antifa and says, yeah, I just took off on them. Oh, they would freak if they knew I was here. And he sort of portrayed himself, and back to he, as like a man of the people who isn't right or left, like a true anarchist who wants to hear both sides and is happy to be here with us to celebrate. And he gets what we're about, which is just, you know, smaller government, more liberty, more constitution. And I thought, okay, I can see that. You're like a real anarchist who hates the government. I want to burn the White House to the ground. You're in the same boat? Okay, good. I can see that. So we're getting along. And some people are trying to take pictures of him. And I'm like, no, get back, get back. I'm pushing them back. And then I find out later that he took a bunch of pictures of himself with his thumbs down and called it a white supremacist rally. And then had created the hashtag Crash the Fash. Crash the Fash, you were invited here as a guest, sir. And I talked to Cassandra about it, and she goes, yeah, I'm not happy. And I go, he betrayed you and then betrayed all of us by proxy. He's fucking dead to me. And no, that's not a threat. I mean, I hate Chelsea Manning. Chelsea Manning is a bitch. She's a cunt. She's a backstabber. And then someone else pointed out, they go, wow, what a surprise. A traitor was treacherous. A traitor became more of a traitor. Yeah, I guess I should have seen that coming. Whoops. But we have this party, we're doing these handshakes, and then it's time to leave. And the only way you can leave these events is to go out and fight. So, you know, when we showed up, we did sort of a phalanx where we went on a different street. You got to hope no one sees you and you're not outnumbered. We weren't outnumbered, of course, because I've done this a million times. So I had like 20 Proud Boys with me, and we had sort of a Roman phalanx, and we go in. There wasn't really that many Antifa there when we got in, one or two. And then word got out where it was. And then there was hundreds and hundreds. Now, the cops are great. What the cops do is they set up all these fences, and then you get picked up by an Uber or something, and then that drives away. That's the only way you can get out. Some of our guys refuse to do that. One guy, a lawyer I work with, he comes out and just starts fighting, punched six of them in the head, and then when he was about to be killed for it, the police jumped them and took care of it. But this other old man just goes, I'm not getting a car. I haven't done anything wrong. This is America. Some 57-year-old man, diminutive, is that the word? He's no Chelsea Manning, but he was not a big man. Wearing a suit, you know, nice little guy. He goes outside. Some rich kid, his name actually is online. I think it's David Campbell. Let me look at that. I'll dig it up. He comes out just in a maniacal rage. And you know what? I understand that if the narrative was accurate. You should punch a Nazi if there's Nazis. If there really was, if it wasn't fantastical that Nazis were going to start a new thing and commit, you know, ethnic cleansing and we'll have World War III, yeah, punch them. I agree. But what's your due diligence on that theory? Sorry, I'm going through my tweets to find this. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so New York Daily News, Midtown alt-right bash, wrong again. By the way, you know what I've learned about the left? When they say alt-right now, they just mean not your typical conservative. They don't understand that new right and alt-right are separated by a million major differences, like alt-right is anti-Semitic, alt-right is all about race, alt-right is pro-socialist, alt-right doesn't really care about the Constitution as much as they care about an ethnic state, an ethnic divide. Whereas new right is just Constitution, 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 Western culture, minimal government. Pretty darn different, don't you think? Alt-right, alt-light, as they call it, new right, doesn't talk about Jews, doesn't talk about race. They'll defend it when you say something's racist when it's not, but it's not part of their agenda. Yeah, violence erupted outside a gala in Midtown Saturday when a black-clad protester, I wonder who that could have been. The term is Antifa. New York Daily News, by the way, is very different from the Post. It's very, very left. I guess they're filling a niche. Yes, 30-year-old attacker was taken into custody, David Campbell of Crown Heights. Now, this guy, believe it or not, is a victim. I know, crazy, right? This is what I said when Trigger Tommy got arrested for stabbing those guys at that Rancid show. Tommy's obviously at the top of the victim list in that situation, but the guys who attacked him were also victims of their own stupid hyperbole. They thought they were killing a bad guy. They had been brainwashed into thinking that guy was Hitler. So in a sense, they are like Moonies. They're like North Koreans. They're like those soldiers that we used to experiment with LSD. So this guy, David Campbell, 30-year-old, he's going to jail for manslaughter because he went up to this old man, strangled him, punched him in the face, sent the guy careening down. He smashed his head on the sidewalk and went into cardiac arrest, nearly murdered him. He doesn't know. This guy could have been a reporter at our thing. He could have been the accountant. I mean, even if it was a Nazi rally, which it was not, you don't even know if this guy was for the thing. There's not even a kangaroo court. He just attacked him because they've been working themselves into a tizzy with these dumb chants. It really is like a cult. He will not divide us. 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 Gucci gang, 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 Gucci gang. What does the boy who said Gucci Gang 1 million times do when he's done? Cries. What do the cops, KKK, capitalism go hand in hand people do when they've chanted it a million times? They go to jail for manslaughter. And don't think that this guy is going to go easy on this Antifa kid. They're going to make an example out of him. Now, my speech was going to be, and I couldn't do this, I just had to yell. Some of my speech is online, but I just had to yell. We used to call it fake news and then mentally ill news. Now it's crazy ex-girlfriend news. And I want you to know that we're winning. I'm already losing my voice. We're winning. I know it doesn't seem like you're winning because people are still getting fired and there's still people getting knifed. There's just a guy in Richmond, Virginia, a friend of mine, just got knifed because he had anti-communist patches on his backpack. He's in the hospital. Knives all over my last podcast was all about knives. Why are knives a thing? What is this, Gangs of New York? Seems like everyone has a knife. There was just a kid in New Rochelle, suburb outside of New York. They got in a fight at Dunkin' Donuts. One pepper sprays the other girl stabbed another girl to death. There's knives everywhere all of a sudden. What's with the knives? That's another thing, too, at these events. If it's not some shit-grinning millennial who wants a selfie, it's someone who could be packing. I've got to get my Krav Maga mentality. That's every time I see someone recognize me, I think, is he going to want a selfie or a deathy? So I always have like my foot positioned on the bar stool in the best pouncing manner, trying to get the best leverage. And then I realize, you know, he wasn't planning his attack. He was nervous. Anyway, enough about being a famous person. So I'm going to make this podcast short, by the way. It's only 45 minutes. We only got about 10, 15 minutes left. But my point was going to be that we're winning, and there's two ways to prove this. One, the left is acting so badly that they are re-electing Trump. So in a sense, I think it's smart just to relax. I mean, I think it's good to go to anti-Sharia rallies and stuff like that and point out that liberals are supporting Linda Sarsour, the Women's March, the Boston Free Speech March, where 20,000 people showed up to attack an Indian guy because they think he's racist. I mean, the marches over the past 365 days have been some of the lowest IQ political events in the history of America. Sub flat earth. That free speech rally where you were screaming about Nazis who weren't even there, that was stupider than flat earth. And the Women's March, I'm sorry I've mentioned it 100 times, but you don't allow pro-lifers. Linda Sarsour is there, who's a Muslim in a hijab. All Muslim hijabi Muslims are pro-life, by the way. And they don't like men wearing hijabs. And you had men putting on American flag hijabs. I mean, Donna Hilton is there talking about equality with LGBT people. She sodomized a man to death with an iron bar and laughed about it. And spent 20 years in prison, and she's telling us about equality? Meanwhile, you can't get over the fact that Trump made a sexist joke in private on a bus. In fact, you're wearing it as a hat on your head. I mean, that's got to be one for the history books, don't you think? Don't you think people in 30 years are going to go, wait a minute. One more time. What was this woman's march again? Well, it was an anti-Trump march, but that's not what they called it, you see. I'm going to have trouble convincing my grandchildren about that thing. Anyway, all of that ridiculous behavior is a win for us. Even, you know, that behavior last night, screaming, attacking people, it's just getting Trump reelected. The way they ate Aziz Ansari and ruined Me Too. Like, Me Too started out as anti-Harvey Weinstein. We were all on the same page. But then everyone wanted to be in it. And the next thing you know, some chick who had a crappy date with Aziz Ansari goes, Me Too. And I go, thank you, lady. You just stopped that from getting out of control. In fact, you ended the whole thing. So it's actually bad because now the Harvey Weinsteins are sort of, their crimes are diluted. But, you know, when they're screaming at the sky, remember that thing? And it was that June? Hundreds and hundreds of people screaming at the moon because Trump is elected. These people are atheists, by the way. They think you're dumb when you pray to God, yet they scream at stars about the president. And then we have the Russia thing, demanding full disclosure on Russia. Now we've got the memo definitely showing that they were throwing stones from a glass house. That's great. That's funny. And remember the unmasking thing? This is all the Dems hanging themselves. Give them enough rope. The hate crime hoaxes galore. This whining about white supremacy all the time. Nancy Pelosi's doing it. Cory Booker's doing it. It's downright embarrassing. I remember hearing about white supremacy when I was a teenager. It was like for the really weird fat lesbians and stuff. And they were talking about 10 people in the country. And now it's just, you talk about it like it's all over the White House. Here's another biggie I wanted to get into. They have lost the youth. The reason we have so many red-pilled youths, the reason I have these guys dying for selfies, is because we red-pilled an entire generation, and we did it with facts. And they, at the same time, were driving young people away. They were saying, you know, this is how you have sex. Here's an app where you give consent. And then I've tried that when I was, you know, in college, trying to be as PC as possible to get as laid as possible. And women were not into it. They liked a little bit of danger. They liked it to get rude. So they ruin sex. They ruin movies now, where everything has to be Atomic Blonde, and all the women in Star Wars are your boss, and everyone has to be a kick-ass chick. They ruin movies. They ruin comedy. And they just keep imposing all these laws. And their number one export, Pablo Escobar had cocaine, their number one export is co-shame. Shame with me. Join me in my shame. Now, I've tried shame. I don't know if you've ever given it a whirl, but you put on the racist coat or you put on the I hate gays coat, and you're like, this is too small. It doesn't fit me. I'm not, and you just take it off. It doesn't fit. It's like trying to be gay if you're not gay. So we tried shame, and it doesn't work. And you keep telling young people that you have this new world. They have to follow these rules and use these terms, and you just end up driving them away. And they come over to our side, the fun side, where sex is normal and movies are good and jokes are funny. You can make jokes. Oh, yeah? How come there's no comedians on TV that are not liberal? Because you bought comedy, as Owen Benjamin says. You made The Daily Show. You spent millions upon millions of dollars, had dozens of writers, and you kicked out, physically removed anyone. It was your reverse McCarthyism. That's why. You drove us to just memes, and we kill at memes, and you suck at memes. So that was going to be one half of my talk, is how give them enough rope. And I know they're throwing bricks through your windows and screaming at the sky and terrorizing your boss. And I know that seems crazy, but that's your crazy ex-girlfriend. I know you get your bunny boiled, like in Fatal Attraction. You go, there's my dead rabbit. Yes, but at least you're no longer with that lunatic bitch. We had 8 years of that bitch. And of course she's not going to go without a fight. Of course she's going to stalk you. Of course she's going to start dressing like your new girlfriend. Of course she's going to call your grandmother and show up at her house. Hi. I wanted to talk to you about Gavin. Do you think we could work things out? I don't know who you are. Plus, I'm dead. My uncle died, by the way, this weekend. I'm going to do a whole show about him. Fascinating guy. Closeted homosexual his whole life. Never gave in, which I'm against. I think, as my previous podcast said, you got to be who you are. As that band The Makers said, do what you want to do. Or as Husker Du said, do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Don't worry about the results or the effect it has on your career. And then in that song, he also goes, be what you want to be. And then he adds, and don't pay any attention to me. I love that line. Don't even listen to me. But the other half of my speech was going to be the right winning in real terms. Black unemployment, lowest it's ever been. Dow, records through the roof. The only guy that comes close to Trump's numbers are Roosevelt, and he was coming back from the Depression. So I don't count that. Oh, your term was better than the Depression? Congratulations, everyone. And then we're even seeing the left conceding wins. Like there was an article in the New York Times saying that he's sort of winning. We're seeing this a lot. David Brooks talking about the Potemkin village of the White House, where everyone sees Trump and a porn star or whatever, all that dumb sort of frontline stuff, the show, the P.T. Barnum show. And then there's the ticket sales at the back and the actual jobs and ISIS on the run. ISIS all but eliminated. Project Veritas kicking ass and exposing everyone. Dinosaur Media totally ridiculed. Like when I hear baby boomers talk about CNN, I'm honestly surprised. I feel like going, oh, you didn't get the memo? You didn't get the memo that the SPLC, the ADL, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and CNN are all considered by anyone of any intellectual authority, they're all considered a complete fucking joke. You don't know that? CNN and Huffington Post, Salon and Slate, that's all the same. It's like spinster blogs. CNN is for dead ovaries and no one else. And I was just going to go through examples of that. I mean, and we just keep getting examples of that, especially in the culture wars where it really matters. Like, we've seen this Jordan Peterson thing, right? Where he's in Britain, I think it was The Guardian, and this woman says, what gives you the right to not offend someone who's transsexual just because you refuse to use their pronouns? What gives you the right to offend them? How is that your right? And Jordan Peterson, he just goes, well, what gives you the right to offend me? I mean, you're coming up with ideas right now that I find quite offensive. And it's very uncomfortable. And then she's thrown it back. That's never occurred to her. And again, we've had 8 years of austerity and abuse. So our arguments are honed to a diamond tip. They have had 8 years of watching eating Doritos and watching You Got Mail. They're intellectually flabby. So they don't know, as Stefan Molyneux says, they don't know what an argument is. That is not an argument. And then she feels bad. So he sort of helps her because he feels bad because she doesn't belong in the workforce, clearly. She's not cut out for this. He says, well, and power to you. Power to you. I'm glad that you're attacking me. I'm glad that we're both having some intellectual rigor here. I mean, to think you need to risk being offended. That's how you grow. And this is part of this show. And we're having a discussion. And everyone has to get out of their comfort zone. So it's the same thing. And she just goes, and this is beautiful. In fact, it's been described as porn. Many people on social media are saying that Jordan Peterson should be arrested for murder because immediately after she goes, well, yes, but how can you? I'm just trying to process that. And then she just looks up and stands there. And it's like someone removed her brain. I mean, it's out of a cartoon when they saw through the head and just removed the brain and you have Wile E. Coyote just staring straight ahead, catatonic. She was just like someone turned her off. And, of course, the liberal media is spinning it now and saying, oh, that was that. Now she's being abused and it's an example of bullying. And they've had to hire security experts because she's getting so many threats. No, she's getting made fun of. Okay, it went viral because it was a perfect example of how unintellectual you are and how lazy you all are. No one's threatening to kill her. No one wants to hurt her. She's already been murdered, for the record. But yeah, they made it about bullying and said that he's being evil. And again, if you can't play with the big boys, then you can't play. And Paul Joseph Watson accurately described that as a major turning point in the culture wars. And one thing I said at the Q&A here is the culture wars, politics is downstream from the culture, yes. But everything is downstream from the culture, including economics, including academia. I mean, we had Obama talking about Title IX and justifying every mattress girl out there to lie and you know, promoting things like Me Too. That has domino effects that affects us all. When the Trump says, no bullshit, let's get to work, the whole country stops dealing with bullshit and trans bathrooms and other ridiculous crap like this. Like, gentrification is ethnic cleansing. It's murder to open a coffee shop in Bushwick. When you go, no, it's not, I'm going to say anchor baby, and you get over all that stuff, people can get back to work. And I said this in the Q&A. I said, I come from Quebec. I've seen when the culture is all about fear and capitulation, how bad it is for the economy. But now the economy is rocking. I mean, even I know skeptics in finance who said, you know, back when the Dow was like 20, they said, well, this isn't going to last. We're having a huge crash of inflation. And they were saying that last night. The Q&A, what are we going to do about the imminent inflation? It's going to be like Zimbabwe soon. It'll cost $14 million to buy a cheeseburger. What can we do? We'll have to invest in Bitcoin. God, I'm so sick of hearing about Bitcoin. But that's not the case. It's possible to keep winning. It's possible to be sick and tired of winning. In fact, we had a vigil on Times Square when the winning had only begun. And we said it was all to all the people we've lost who died of winning AIDS because we can't take it. We're dying of winning. And we had candles and we had pictures of factories that were moving back to the States. And since then, of course, we've had Apple. And what are they bringing in? $36 billion. See, that's what matters to Americans. That's what I was trying to get across last night. And I want to get across on this podcast is that the angry bitches, the crazy ex-girlfriends, they are very loud. They are very shrill, and they were, up until recently, very effective. These marches, these ridiculous marches with these hats, you start to think that, uh-oh, the country's shutting down, the government's shutting down. That's a good thing, by the way, the government shutting down. It happened in Canada all the time with Stephen Harper, and we all loved it. Good. I don't want you coming to work. But your job, by its very nature, is sabotage. But I'm here to tell you, and I was there last night at a night of freedom, to say just because your crazy ex-girlfriend is stalking you doesn't mean your life isn't going great. Your life's going great. You got out of that relationship. You got a new girl now, and her name's Donald Trump. Dun, 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 and she's a lot like you. That singing's gay, isn't it? Why was it cool to be a singer? Like, you sang for Honeymoon Suite? That's gay. You got up there and sang songs to people? Nice job, homo. Even the Scorpions, like, you're trying to be all sexy and cool. She's licking the lips. She's ready to win on a hunger night. Love it for sin. You Ethel Merman? Nice job. What do? I'm a singer. I travel around with a suitcase with a microphone in it. What? That's like, my dad's a welder. He uses a welding torch. What do you use? I use this. It is a microphone. And I get out on the stage. I work on my, I have a bunch of crazy outfits that I wear, bandanas and stuff. And I sing to people. Singing a song, singing to you, babe. Yeah. I'm a singer in a band. Yeah. I guess I was that. We were doing punk. That was like a parody of rock and rock stars. We were kidding. I would throw cow brains into the crowd for the song Use Your Brains Now. We had a giant foam penis that we would circumcise on stage. We played a show nude. We played a show in drag. It was, punk is a mockery of people who take themselves seriously. I mean, you don't have leopard print hair and a purple mohawk because you want to look super cool. You're making fun of makeup. You're making fun of fashion. Anyway, what a stupid tangent to go on, Mr. McInnes. So, God, I drove, like, Ann Coulter, there was some after party there. Are you going to go to the after party? And I just felt like what are those things you put in the dryer to prevent more static electricity? Those sort of bouncy, what are they called, dryer sheets? I felt like one of those, just drained, just empty. Just, I'd shaken so many hands. And I thought, I don't think I'm doing that again. But the message is what matters. I'm just a bitching drummer right now with calluses. The message is what matters. The song is what matters. And the song is that we are winning. Don't let the bastards get you down. They're pulling knives. They're screaming about the Ku Klux Klan. They're punching old men in the street. They're stabbing people. That doesn't mean that they're winning. That doesn't mean that we don't have 8 more years of Trump. It means the opposite. These fools acting like barbarians just guaranteed us 8 years. And you know what that guarantees us? Unprecedented economic success. A boom. Black people, unprecedented employment now. Welfare dying. Immigration going down. We're going to have a wall. ISIS on the run. This is what America was meant to be. We have had an anvil. We've had an albatross around our necks for 10 years. And, you know, you talk to people in the military and you say, how do we win this war? And they would say, Terry Shepard. He'd say, just move out of the way and let me do my job. I feel like America has been saying that to the social justice warrior left, the alt-left, these nuts, these communists, these socialists in office. And America is saying, can you just get out of the way, big government? Can you get out of the way and let me do my job? And it's happening. And you know what happens when someone's able to do their job? They generate more jobs and more jobs. It's a very exciting time to be alive. Sure, there's a few stretchers. Sure, there's a few stab wounds. The big picture is that we are making America great again. This is a Tuesday podcast. I'm going to have another one Friday. I think I'm going to have Winston Churchill on the show. I'm going to talk about my dead gay uncle. And we've got a lot of fun stuff planned. I like you more than a friend. And I will see you tomorrow on Get Off My Lawn, which is crtv.com/Gavin. You can subscribe to this on iTunes or Google Play or whatever you youngsters do with your podcasts. And I'll see you later.